Hello, Cleveland, and welcome back to another edition of the Dogland Podcast. It is free agency frenzy. It's the first day of the legal tampering period. Got a lot to cover in terms of what happened with the Cleveland Browns and what they've done the last couple of days. I am your host, Jackson McCurry. Anthony Jokey could not join me tonight, but I do have a special guest, a member of the Dogland crew. This is his second time being on the podcast with us. And
it's been a while.
Yeah, and I'm thankful he was able to come in on short notice to join me. It's Zach Strebler. Zach, what's going on, brother?
Not much, man. I am enjoying, obviously, the fiasco that is, the tampering period. It's literally my favorite time of the year. I've talked a lot about it on my podcast, and it is, this is my favorite time of the year. I've been so stoked as to what the Browns have done so far, and I'm really looking forward to see what else AB does.
Yeah, for sure. For those that don't know, real quick, tell people about your podcast, where they can find it, and what it's all about.
Okay. Yeah. So, it's pretty much the same thing we do here. So the name is a Just BSN Podcast, and you can find that on YouTube and Spotify. I will also have the link posted just to the Twitter, because I always post to the Twitter when those go live. YouTube and Spotify, just BSN Podcast with my buddy Andrew, who is a good personal friend of mine, and we both kind of wanted to do that. This has been probably a year in the making, so it's nice to finally get out there. I think we have about 22 or 23 episodes out now, so we've gotten our feet wet a little bit, and it's been fun so far. So I can't wait to talk about this stuff on my podcast for Friday. I think is when we're gonna post it, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, for sure. It's good stuff. I remember you telling us in the group chat all the time, want to get the podcast going. And then you finally did. But yeah, it's good stuff. I listen to it when I can. Obviously, there's so many Browns podcasts to consume, but I do appreciate what you guys are bringing to the table.
Oh, yeah.
But let's talk about the Browns moves, because now they're really starting to pick up. It was a slow start to the legal tampering day period, but let's go back to Saturday, because obviously that was probably the biggest move so far. I was at work when the trade went down, but the Browns, we knew they were going to be in the market for a wide receiver. We talked about the free agent options here on the podcast, but lo and behold, Andrew Berry went to the trade market again. And, for the value he got, he did pretty well trading a fifth and sixth round pick to the Denver Broncos for Jerry Jeudy, instead of overpaying for a wide receiver. And we never knew what the draft, what options were going to be there for us at 54. So he goes out and gets a proven guy. And Jerry Jeudy, who is getting a fresh start because he dealt with a lot of nonsense in Denver during his 4 years there. And now he comes here, joins Amari Cooper, who he had absolutely admires, and, is that solid number two receiver, I think, that the Browns really needed in that room.
Oh, absolutely. And I think he gives you that legit deep threat option, which is one thing I think that we have all as fans kind of wanted out of the Browns. It isn't like, man, we just missed that one deep threat piece that we really need. And I think it'll really help with Watson wanting to push the ball downfield, because we saw it a few times last year, but it wasn't too often. And the guys he's throwing up to, I mean, you don't know if it really is going to be just Cooper, if it's more. But other than that, there really was no deep threat for us. And so it's nice to get him in that sort of wide receiver two option, and, also be able to take the load off of Elijah Moore and really put him in that, in that slot, which I know you talked about a little bit in the chat. And so, I mean, I think it's a great move. And I also think the value is the one thing that I think people are kind of sleeping on right now, especially with the way that these wideouts are starting to go in terms of free, agency, because we wanted Gabe Davis. We wanted, this guy and this guy. Jerry Jeudy seems to be the right fit for this piece, and again, it does give him a fresh start, so I'm really excited to see what we can do about it, and I just hope that we can give him some confidence. I know he had some problems catching the ball, so I hope that that gets a little bit better for us. And I mean, a pair of Alabama wideouts now for the Browns, and then you add Elijah Moore in there. I mean, that we've got some great route running right now on this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Chad Johnson said we have two of the best route runners in the league, talking about Judy and Cooper. There was the stuff you mentioned, the drops with Judy. I think that's one concern. There's been talk about his attitude, and I think when you look at what he came from in Denver, he had to deal with a rotating door at the quarterback position. Even when Russell Wilson got there, had to deal with that, had to deal with different head coaches. I think he had three different head coaches, three different offensive coordinators, and two of them being Nathaniel Hackett and Pat Shurmur, who, say what, Aaron Rodgers can say whatever he wants about Nathaniel Hackett. He has not been a very good offensive coordinator the last few years in this league. Pat Shurmur speaks for itself. Browns fans know him very well, but yeah, he had to deal with a lot in Denver. And of course, there was the Steve Smith comments talking about, him just being an average receiver. And I think Judy did take offense to it. And I think like the game before, the game after, he had like a monster performance. So, I think Judy does have a chip on his shoulder. He wants to prove something. And now he comes to Cleveland. Like I mentioned, he adores Amari Cooper. Obviously, they're both Alabama guys. I was listening to a Denver podcast, and they said that Jerry Jeudy, when they voted for the top 100 players, he voted Amari Cooper number one because he said he's so underrated and disrespected as a wide receiver in the league because, he's not the diva. Like, he just goes out and does his job. He's a soft-spoken guy. And I think that's one of the many reasons I think Cleveland loves Amari Cooper because he just puts in the work. So hopefully him, joining Amari in this room will be good for Jerry Jeudy, and hopefully he can live up to the potential he had coming out in 2020.
Oh yeah, and if he really does stand out and you have to make that decision later on, say next season where you got to pick between Coop or Jerry Jeudy, it at least gives you the option of a younger wide receiver to sort of pay that money if you do decide to move on from Coop. Now, obviously, we don't want that, but I mean, it's reality of the league. It could very well happen. So it does give the Browns a little bit of more flexibility to not necessarily rely on the young guys that we've drafted so far, because Tillman has had some struggles, and obviously Bell is a catching machine, but we just really haven't seen him throw up big numbers because he had he hasn't had to obviously. But it's gonna be nice. It's gonna give guys like Tillman a chance to keep developing. He had a lot of trouble route running last year, so I think it was a good move overall, and it definitely gives us that just solid wide receiver two option right there. And then if Cooper does get hurt, you still have Judy to throw to. You still have more to throw to, and that was one thing that we had, as well last year. Where if Coop went down, I mean, your next best guy was Elijah Moore, and let's not knock on him, but he's never really been that sort of, wide receiver one guy in the league, and he can't really fill those shoes, I think, yet. So it definitely gives us more flexibility at that position. I still wouldn't be surprised if we draft one. I mean, it really just depends on how the draft falls, but I really wouldn't be surprised if that happens, or if we even still sign another, vet to a 1 or 2 year deal, which seems to be AB's just bread and butter at this point. So yeah, we'll see. But overall, the move was great, the value was great, and I'm really excited to see what he does.
Yeah, me too. And I think this really solidifies, the top end of the wide receiver room. I think Elijah Moore, I think he started to build momentum towards the end of the season when the Browns weren't doing the gimmicky stuff with him and letting him be, the route running wide receiver we saw when he came out of Ole Miss. He posted career numbers in every category except touchdowns. He did have only two touchdowns. But I do think having him in the slot, moving him outside. The one thing I really like now is all of our top three receivers are versatile, can play inside and outside. Judy played a lot in the slot in Denver, so I'm sure, Kevin Stefanski and Ken Dorsey have ideas in mind for how they're going to utilize them. But the way that they're all versatile, I think this makes sense. And it does buy Cedric Tillman more time to develop. We have David Bell, like you mentioned. They could draft someone. But I feel like that sixth receiver is going to be more of a return guy at this point. Now, do they go in free agency? Do they find a burner in the draft and, use him as the return guy and then slowly develop him for the future? Because this wide receiver room could look completely different in a year because Cooper's on his last year, Moore's on his last year, Judy's on his last year. So it's going to really be interesting to see how the wide receiver room shakes out for the future. But I do like what it's set in place right now for 2024 and just find that return guy. Maybe they bring back Prochet. Who knows what they're going to do, but it'll be interesting.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm excited though.
Yeah, me too. Can't wait. I've always liked Jerry Jeudy. I can't wait to see what he looks like in a competent, stable offense. Obviously, the quarterback position here needed to get healthy, needed to stabilize, but the prospects are looking good. Let's get to free agency. Obviously, there was a lot of rumors coming into today. I think Browns fans, some were a little bit or overly optimistic about what the team was going to do. There was a lot of rumors, with Christian Wilkins and everything, but we know what Andrew Berry's going to do. He's going to be aggressive, but he's always going to be calculated aggression, I think. I don't think he's going to overspend. He's never been that guy. That's never been his MO. Christian Wilkins obviously goes to Vegas. We'll talk about the running back market in a little bit, but they brought back their guys. I think this was always the best case scenario, Zach, that they were going to bring back some of their guys. And I think probably their top two guys that they could bring back, they have agreed to bring back Za'Darius Smith, 2 years, $23.5 million base salary, with the ability to get to $25 million, which I'm sure is like sack incentives or some sorts. We don't know the full details of the contract, but he's coming back. And then Mo Hurst on a 1 year deal up to $3.2 million, was a breakout guy last year in the defensive tackle room. Obviously, his season ended last year with a pectoral injury, but he comes back, joins Siaki Ika and Dalvin Tomlinson in that room. So two guys that were additions last year, the Browns are bringing back for another go around.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think bringing back Za'Darius Smith on that deal. I mean, so Jack Duffin, I know he had said it was going to be around 2 years, 24 mil. So he was literally 0.5 off. And so it's nice to bring back the guys that that were big contributors to how great this defense was last year. And I think Za'Darius not only on the field was great, but also in the locker room, man. I really think that they understand now that the culture is so important for what happens on the field. And so when you're bringing guys like Smith back and Hurst back, it brings the swagger back and it brings the looseness back with Smith, especially, that I think was really so important for this group. And I mean, the deals are all great deals. They're not, overpays at all. Obviously you said a few names, but overall, what the Browns have done now is pretty typical of what Andrew Berry likes to do. Me personally, I really thought that, AB was going to be a little loose with it finally this year because of just how the season went last year, but he stuck true to what he does. And I'm glad he did because he's bringing back key guys that he really, really likes. Obviously Smith is great, and obviously the belly rub, Mo Hurst. It's just gonna nice to have him in that rotation. I still do think that they bring in at least another D tackle, whether that ends up being in the draft or free agency or even both at this point. I can definitely see that being a thing. And then I can still see, I mean, Taki Taki is still a guy who I think will come back too, but I'm sure we'll get into stuff like that later. But it sounds like he's honing in on our guys first and then starting to move on with other free agents that were not with the team last year.
Yeah, I mean, Za'Darius was the one that I was kind of wondering if he was actually going to come back, just because there was the reports during the combine that they were going to let him test the market, and then you seen some of the edge contracts early in the day, Grenard going to Minnesota on a big deal. I was like, well, maybe somebody's going to overpay for Za'Darius because he's been productive wherever he's been. But he actually got less than what was projected, I think. I saw 2 for 24. I forget what Duffin projected, but it was fairly close. So I'm glad that he's sticking around because he had a productive year. I know people will look at strictly at the sacks, but he created a lot of pressure, which is something the Browns absolutely love. And I thought he was really good throughout the year. He wasn't like Clowney. I think some people were worried about his attitude and everything. But he came in, was a true pro, a great running mate with Miles and the rest of the edge room. So getting him back bodes well for that. Okoronkwo coming back off an injury next year. Alex Wright had a strong end of the season last year, and I'm really
Yes, he
excited to
did.
see what he's going to do in year three, and also Isaiah McGuire in year two. I think the edge room is set, honestly. They could add one in the draft, but they got their five as far as I'm concerned, because I really did like Isaiah McGuire coming out of Missouri. So I'm anxious to see what that brings. And you mentioned the belly rub. I had posted on the Dogland Twitter. I said it's the best celebration in sports, and it's coming back. So, and
It is.
Mo Hurst, a lot of people, some people won't like him because he's a Michigan man, but that guy truly loves Cleveland. He was an under the radar signing last year. We didn't know what we were going to expect, but he came in and provided an impact in the middle of that defensive room. And I'm with you. I think they're going to add somebody else. They may bring back Shelby Harris. There's been some buzz about DJ Reader, who is also coming off injury, but I do think they add another D tackle because I don't think Siaki Ika is fully ready yet to make some kind of impact in that defensive tackle room.
And also news, Sione just went to the Patriots. I just saw that pop up. So that once is now gone. But I mean, yeah, that stinks. But I mean, it's good for him to get a new deal. But yeah, back to the guys at home base. I mean, yeah, Hurst is good, but I really do think that they are going to bring in another D tackle, and obviously, I think they said Reader. Probably tomorrow is going to be more of news on him. I don't know if they get a deal done necessarily, but it definitely sounds like they want to keep beefing up that D line, which I don't think is a bad thing at all. I'm really curious to see if we try to beef up our O line as well, whether that be in free agency or in the draft or both. I am curious to see what else they do there.
Yeah, the offensive line will be interesting. I think they're probably focused on the draft. I know there was rumors about Michael Dunn and stuff coming back, but that'll be interesting. You mentioned Taki leaving. The official numbers on that is a 2-year, $6.5 million deal that could be worth up to 10 with million with incentives. I thought Taki was coming back, but
Yeah, I did too.
New England gave him a pretty solid deal to leave. And he was a guy that's been around, was drafted by Dorsey back in 2019. And I thought he got better and better each year in this in the defense, regardless of who the defensive coordinator was. But it's kind of disappointing. But with who the Browns ended up getting tonight, just before we started recording, it makes sense why they went that route, because they only lo not only lost Tonki Tonki to the Patriots, but Anthony Walker signed early or agreed early in the day to go to Miami and join the Dolphins. But the Brown oh go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, I but yeah, I mean, I you know, I was just gonna say the guy that we got, Jordan Hicks. I mean, obviously, I think he fills the role anyway of that. So I still think they add another linebacker now that they lost him.
Yeah.
In terms of Taki, it just makes sense for them to go ahead and just keep trying and to add more. And I think that's AB's motto, man. He's fine just adding so many guys and then having it come down to those roster cuts and seeing who really, stands out. And that's why guys like Hurst came through. So, I mean, I trust what he does. Do what you got to do, AB. I trust it.
Yeah, there hasn't been many questionable moves that AB has made during his time as GM. That leaves us to doubt his abilities. Like you said, he likes to sign a lot of different guys and have open competitions at those spots, and then lets the best man come out, whether it's a draft pick or a cheap veteran signing that was under the radar at first and then ends up making an impact. But you did mention the name. The Browns agreed to terms with Jordan Hicks on a 2-year, $8 million contract. He was recently with Minnesota, but he was drafted by Philly back in 2015. Spent time with Jim Schwartz there for a few years. He spent his first 4 years in Philly, did a 3-year stint in Arizona, and then the last couple years in Minnesota. He'll be 32 in June, but he is still producing at a high level. Last year, played over 800 snaps in Minnesota. He had 112 total tackles is what I'm reading on Pro Football Focus. 11 missed tackles, 33 stop tackles, 14 pressures, and a sack. He also had an interception and two pass breakups. So very productive linebacker still, even though he's in his early 30s. But this is a guy that is familiar with Jim Schwartz's defense, and I think he'll be a nice addition next to Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who should be getting a contract extension at some point in the next calendar year, as he is finally become that emerging star in the middle of the Browns defense that we fully expected. But I like this addition of Hicks, especially with Taki Taki and Walker leaving in free agency. This is a guy that could come in and fill that void. I am with you. I do think they add another linebacker, but Hicks is a solid addition early on in the free agency period.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, you even said before we started this that he was around 40th, I think, in PFF, just behind Jock. So it's nice to just have quality guys back there. And I'm really curious to see how they do it. Obviously, him having that continuity with Jim Schwartz, I think is big in itself. And I think Schwartz was a very much a part of that signing in particular. So I'm excited about it. I mean, yeah, he's going to be 32, but 800 snaps is, obviously no joke. And that's one thing that we had a issue with when it came to AWOC was he just couldn't stay on the field consistently. Because when he played fine and he was great for us in that group, but you got to get guys that are able to stay healthy, and that's just how the league works. So I'm excited to see what he brings to this team.
Yeah, I am too. He's always been a solid pro. The fact that he knows Schwartz defense bodes well, because he could be that veteran presence not only for JOK but Tony Fields and whoever else they add to the room, because the cupboard's bare behind those three, I think, right now in the linebacker room. Because Adams is a free agent, Jacob Phillips, some other guys. But yeah, I'm sure AB's not done at that position, whether it's the draft or free agency. We did lose AWOC and Taki, but I mentioned they also lost Mike Ford, who, Zach, I know you were kind of okay with it, but he was a good special teams guy, one of our top guys. He was a corner in terms of depth, when he had to play, it wasn't always the prettiest, but we did lose a special teams impact guy. He did go to Houston on a 2-year deal, but any thoughts on losing Ford?
I mean, obviously he had, he was fine on special teams, but yeah, I just, it's so ingrained in my brain with some of the games that he had to play, because guys like Ward and even Newsom were out, and it was just Martin Emerson in a dream. And it was just, man, I mean, he's a tall bodied guy, strong, but he just wasn't fast. The dude got burnt every time. He couldn't hang on routes. Like, it was rough watching him. So that's why I'm fine with it, because I feel like you can find needles in, in a haystack, especially when it comes to special teams guys. So I'm not overly worried about all of that. It could have definitely been worse. But yeah, I can take the loss on that one for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure Bubba Ventrone and the personnel department have a watching film looking at potential special team depth guys. And it wouldn't shock me if they signed one here in the coming days. Cause Mike Ford was like, I think he was in the first week of free agency signings, and we're all kind of like last year, and we were like, who is that guy? And then we realized he was a gunner in Atlanta, and we knew he was going to be a special teams guy, and he ended up being good in that aspect last year. But like you said, when he had to play and he actually had to do cornerback reps, he wasn't the prettiest, but he did have an interception on Lamar Jackson in the comeback win last year. So that's one of the things I'll never forget.
That's very true.
So let's talk about this running back market, Zach, because I think we all expected the Browns to be in on the running back market, because we don't know when Nick Chubb's coming back. Kareem Hunt was good for what he was last year, but he's not expected to be back. We have Jerome Ford and Pierre Strong, but we kind of expected that the Browns might add a veteran, and they still might. Obviously, it's still early in the free agency period, but some of the deals today, Saquon Barkley gets $12.5 million per year on a 3-year contract. Josh Jacobs goes to Green Bay, and they cut Aaron Jones. But that was a 4-year deal where he makes $12 million a year. And then you had Pollard and DeAndre Swift making $8 million a year. Devin Singletary makes $5.5 million a year. That was a surprise one to me.
Yeah.
Eckler goes to the Commanders for around $5.3 million. And then you got Antonio Gibson goes to the Patriots. Gus Edwards leaves Baltimore and goes to the Chargers. So there's a lot of running back movement. Derrick Henry still out there. Zach Moss. There's some big names still out there in the running back market. But it's a surprise to me that the Browns did not go after guys, but we all know Andrew Berry has a set price. Maybe they do not want to command a multi-year contract to one of these veteran backs, the way they were passed out around the league today. Do you think they add a veteran at some point, or do you think they're focused in on adding somebody in the draft to accompany Jerome Ford until Nick Chubb's ready to come back?
Man, I mean, So my ultimate wish list is for them to get somebody here, and in free agency, and then even look in the draft, like later on in the draft, and find a needle in a haystack. Because I've always said that running back is one of those sort of positions where you don't need to necessarily draft them high all of the time in order to find really good running backs. But when you have a guy in this case like Nick Chubb, it is very hard to replace him. And we saw that last year when we had to deal with Ford and Hunt, who, listen, they did great for what they were, but it was no Nick Chubb. So I know that these deals have been crazy. Guys like Aaron Jones are still out there, Zach Moss, I'm sure there's a few others that I'm not thinking about, but overall, it seems like they're going to stay away. I would love for them to see what Aaron Jones is going to ask for, because that pairing with Chubb would be disgusting. I think that would be nasty, especially in the passing game. But it sounds like they're going to end up drafting one. But the draft this year doesn't really seem that strong in running backs, and that's why I'm a little hesitant to fully set my ways in that one, because I wasn't really impressed with that group in that draft combine. And the guys that were good, I don't think will fall to us, but I guess you never know in the draft. I mean, the draft always goes crazy. But yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. The running back market right now is interesting. Barkley obviously was the big man today, but we kind of expected that one. I just didn't expect it to be Philly. I honestly thought he was going to go to Houston or
Yeah.
something. And obviously we thought about Swift, and he went to the Bears. He was like one of the first guys off the board today. Honestly, I think Swift was the
He
first running
was the
back off the board
first.
today.
He
Like,
was
he
the
was
first
literally
player, yeah.
first guy. Yeah. So I mean, it started off hot, and so I'm interested to see what AB does. But it's the good thing about this staff right now is they don't panic, man. Like, anytime they get stuff like this happening within certain markets, they just don't panic. They know what they're, what they want to pay, and they're going to stick to it. And they're not really going to go too far above or, really below that. And we'll see what he does. Obviously there's still guys out there, so we can't totally count AB out yet, but it's the market's weird right now. I will agree to that.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. But Derrick Henry's still out there. I don't think that's a legit option for the Browns. Zach Moss, there's been some conflicting reports there. Like I thought DeAndre Swift was coming, and then it just sounded like that the money was gonna be too much. And I knew that the Andrew Berry's not gonna overpay, especially on day one of free agency. We know that. So once I heard that like the money was getting to be too much, I knew the Browns were gonna move on. Zach Moss is out there. I do think Aaron Jones kind of threw a wrench into some things. So that's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out, because I don't think anybody expected Green Bay to cut him, not let alone turn around and pay Jacobs $12 million a year when they had Jones and AJ Dillon in that room.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. Like there's some names out there still, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, J.K. Dobbins, but he's coming off the Achilles injury. There's some interesting names out there, and we'll see if Andrew Berry finds one for the right value, because that's his MO at the end of the day. And but maybe they turn their attention to the draft. A lot of the guys are day three picks, which the Browns are too short on now because of the Jeudy trade, which is fine.
Yeah.
But who knows? I'm sure they'll find somebody. Jerome Ford wasn't terrible, but I think like they need somebody solid alongside him in that room. And I don't think it's Pierre Strong, even though I do like some of the traits he brings, especially the speed, but I do
Yeah.
think they will add a running back at some point this offseason. It's just a matter of who's it going to be.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I kind of like the idea of Dobbins. I mean, I know he comes off of an Achilles, but man, if that dude could really stay healthy, he could be fantastic for this team, and he would be so cheap because of that. But it's so scary to take on guys like that because of his past. So it leaves us in a really tough spot with some of these guys. So we'll see what they do.
Yeah, for sure. Before we get to the big quarterback addition in the AFC North, let's talk about the latest rumor that came up while we were recording. Jacoby Brissett signed with the Patriots. We all kind of expected that the last couple of weeks. And then Ben Volen, who is from the Boston Globe, I believe. Yes, he's from the Boston Globe. He reported, it says, some other QB buzz I'm hearing. Sam Darnold is weighing offers between the Vikings and Broncos. That's not a surprise. And then he throws this in here. The Browns are interested in Jameis Winston as a backup. So
I just saw that.
The talk has been, obviously, Joe Flacco. And we've all kind of expected that once Jacoby goes to the Patriots, that Flacco was going to come back. You know, obviously he did his little media tour last week. Sounded like his agent was trying to drive up the market, but there was a lot of reports out there. The OBR was one of them saying that, you know, Joe Flacco wanted to come back. The Browns wanted him back. We just kind of seemed that it's a formality, but now we're looking at potentially Jameis Winston as backup quarterback, which would be interesting. He's been in New Orleans the last couple years, former number one overall pick. But that would be an interesting twist into the QB room because we've all kind of expected it would be Flacco. But now it could be Jameis Winston, who is 30 years old. You know, his career numbers, 22,000 passing yards, 141 touchdowns, 99 picks. His last legit time out on the field was 2021 in New Orleans, 1,170 yards, 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. But the last couple of years, he's been a backup slash spot starter. Man, Zach, I never thought we'd live in a world where Jameis Winston would put on a Browns uniform, but we got to talk about the possibility here.
Yeah, it's man. I mean, I didn't really think about this because a lot of the early rumors that I was hearing about JJ Jameis was he wanted to be a starter again. You know, he is old. You know, he's only 30 years old, so it's not like he's an old head, but he has at least gotten in this league long enough to be considered an old head. But wow, that is an interesting one. I'm not sure how I feel about it yet, but it does kind of give you more of a cushion, I guess, than even Flacco. I mean, Flacco did well, you know, last year, but I knew going into that Houston game that something was going to happen or that Flacco magic was going to stall at some point. You just didn't know when. And I'm sure it makes the Browns a little hesitant on it. Obviously, he is a great guy, and everybody loved him. I know he loved Cleveland, so it is interesting to hear Jameis now being thrown in that mix, especially within the last 15 minutes. I mean, that definitely shapes things up, especially because it seems like they really wanted, Jacoby back, which I wasn't going to disagree with that one either, but Jameis Winston in a Browns uniform would be, I still don't know how I feel about that. I'm a little indifferent about it at the moment. I still got to take it in.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting. I will say, like, there's going to be people that go and look and say, man, he's a turnover machine. Well, first of all, you can't be hypocritical because Joe Flacco, God love him for what he did towards the end of the season. He threw 10 picks in 5 starts, including back-to-back pick sixes in the playoff game as well. Jameis toned down on the interceptions once he got to New Orleans. Yes, the sample size is small compared to his time in Tampa Bay, but he only threw 11 interceptions in 10 starts, 21 appearances in New Orleans. That last year, 2021, where he started 7 games, he had 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. So I think going to New Orleans, being with, you know, Drew Brees and Sean Payton for a couple years, I think he kind of maybe he got to work on some things and maybe he has toned down the interceptions. I think they'll always be there. Obviously, his last full-time starting season was 2019. He had 33 touchdowns, but he had 30 interceptions, which led the league. So I think, what did he say? Was it no risk it, no biscuit or something like that? There was some kind of phrase that he said in Tampa. Jameis was always good for one-liner. So yeah, it would be interesting if they brought him in there. I don't know. I still got to digest it too, much like you. So, but it'd be interesting to see if they do go with Jameis instead of Joe Flacco. But yeah, that's going to be a fascinating one for sure if it ultimately happens.
Yeah.
Speaking of fascinating, we knew there was a possibility this was going to happen. It became a reality Sunday night. Pittsburgh will sign, once he's officially released by Denver, Russell Wilson to a 1-year deal. They're saying he's going to have to compete for the starting job with Kenny Pickett, which is hilarious when you stack them up. Like Russell was better than all three Pittsburgh quarterbacks last year combined, but it's an interesting fit because of Russell's personality going into that locker room with some unique personalities in Pittsburgh. But I, you know, a lot of people are indifferent on this one, Zach. I think this makes Pittsburgh better and makes them a viable playoff team again. This team won 9 games last year with Pickett, Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph at quarterback. I mean, Russell Wilson, you know, he has $37.5 million in his bank account from Denver. Now he's playing on the minimum with a chip on his shoulder to try to prove to Sean Payton in Denver that he is still a good quarterback. He goes to Pittsburgh and, you know, they have a great defense. They got a good running game, 2 decent receivers in Johnson and Pickens. And, you know, their tight ends are solid too. Like, I don't think Russell Wilson's washed yet. And I think he's an interesting fit for Pittsburgh, but I do think this makes them a viable playoff team again in the AFC.
Yeah, and I mean, they did make the playoffs this year, even with the horrible quarterback play that they had, and it was because they're just a solid team because they're coached well, and that's just how that team is going to be. But in terms of Wilson, man, like it definitely gives them better quarterback play. I'm not sure exactly to the extent of how insane it's going to be for them. Now, you know, again, you have, you know, guys like Najee, you have Warren, who I was really impressed with that kid last year. That kid is honestly, I would play him over Harris at this point because of how inconsistent Harris has been in the run game. And, you know, obviously they have George Pickens, you know, Johnson is viable. And, you know, obviously they have Freiermuth. So, I mean, they do have some guys. It's just, I'm not still totally impressed with their guys on offense to really propel them, especially in the, this is the toughest division, man. Like, this is going to be if we thought it was tough last year, the Bengals are definitely going to be back in some sort of capacity. I know they've lost quite a few guys today in free agency too, but you know, they're still going to have Joe Burrow back. It's going to be a tough division. So regardless of how the Steelers do, I just don't see them being overly much better than what they currently were, but they're definitely going to get better quarterback play because Russell Wilson did not play bad last year. Like, let's make no mistake about it. I think Denver really screwed him over. Sean Payton really got an ego with him because the dude had, I think it was like, what, 26 touchdowns, only like 8 picks or something. He really didn't turn the ball over. You know, he had a few fumble rooskies, but other than that, like, the dude played out of his mind, and he definitely had better receivers to throw to than he does in Pittsburgh, in my opinion. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they end up playing, but I just don't think Russell Wilson quite makes them a crazy, crazy team, but they are still going to be a playoff team. And I think that's just the Steelers' MO, as they're always going to be up there in that, you know, 1-3 spot in the AFC North. So the Browns have to make sure that they don't screw around this year. Like, they cannot have the seasons that, you know, that we've had where we've been so close yet so far. You know, obviously this past year was great enough, but so many injuries and so many missed opportunities still. Teams like the Browns just cannot afford to make a lot of mistakes this year because of how just absolutely talented and absolutely stacked this AFC North is now.
Yeah, I don't think like Russell Wilson just like fell off a cliff in Denver.
No.
Like, 2022 was bad. Nathaniel Hackett was a horrible head coach and play caller. And then 2023, I think Sean Payton did help him, but at the same time was setting up for his exit, because we knew when Sean Payton came in, there was rumors that like it was his plan to build the team his way and that Russell Wilson wasn't going to be his quarterback. And then lo and behold, when the Broncos are still in a playoff spot, they bench him to make sure that he doesn't get hurt so that his contract guarantees. So we knew it was setting up for the beginning of the end for Russ. And, you know, now he goes to Pittsburgh and, you know, unfortunately we don't want him to succeed because, you know, that's going to be tough. He is undefeated against the Browns. So the Browns now get 2 chances to, you know, beat him finally, because they haven't had that that fortune enough to beat him when they've gone head to head. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out, just because Russ has a unique personality and you got guys like George Pickens in the room and in the offense that want the football. And Deontay Johnson's had his struggles with the quarterbacks post Ben Roethlisberger. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out there. But I do think they did improve the quarterback position. It might only have been slightly.
Yeah,
because
but they did.
I don't think Russ is among the elite anymore, but I think they did upgrade it over what they had last year.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Man, it yeah. Well, we went through a lot, and you know, hopefully the Browns make some more moves. Zach, thanks again for joining on such short notice, man. I do appreciate it, and we do need to have you on more often for sure to talk Browns.
Absolutely, you know, I would love to. So whenever you guys need it, just let me know. I'm totally
down.
Yeah,
for sure. Go ahead and plug your social and the podcast once again, man.
So yeah, my personal Twitter is just at Zach Strubler 50, and then the Twitter for the podcast is again at Just BSN Podcast. And yeah, we're on YouTube and Spotify. It's been fun so far. I'm really excited to see what else Drew and I can pull out here. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much. I do appreciate you. In the meantime, guys, follow me on Twitter at JackMcCurry08. Follow the Dogland at the Dogland. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you guys listen. Myself and Anthony should be back later this week to talk about any more moves the Browns made. And who knows, maybe we'll talk about Jameis Winston coming and being the backup quarterback. That would be pretty wild to think about. But whatever happens, we'll be back to break it all down for you guys. But in the meantime, until next time, go Browns.